We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, Pacer Nation. Happy Monday to you. Welcome back to another episode of Setting the Pace. I'm your host, Alex Golden, and today I'm going to be joined once again by Mark Schindler and Rhett Bauer to preview our West Coast road trip. We got 5 games in the next 7 days, so a lot of exciting times to be a Pacer fan. We're going to talk about those games and things we like and things we don't like for this road trip and what we would consider a successful road trip versus a non-successful road trip. So hope you guys enjoy this preview. We're also going to recap that game on Saturday against the Phoenix Suns where the Pacers fell short 125-117. The Phoenix Suns were hot from three. Mikal Bridges had a career high, and Domantas Sabonis had 28 points and 22 rebounds and a loss. So a really fun game overall, but we're going to talk about that and what went wrong for the Pacers. So hope you guys enjoy today's episode. If you're listening to this podcast and you haven't already downloaded the episode, please do us a favor over at Setting the Pace and hit that download button. It really helps us out, and we really appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to our show. And without further ado, here is the latest episode. Alrighty, Pacer Nation, what's going on? Welcome back to another episode of Setting the Pace, and I'm joined today by Rhett Bauer, Mark Schindler. Rhett, what's going on, man?
Not much, Alex. Glad to be here. Looking forward to another week of basketball.
Yeah, we got ourselves a nice West Coast road trip. That's kind of hard to say if you don't slow it down there, but Mark, man, how you doing?
I'm good. I feel a lot more rested than I'm about to in 7 days. So
yeah,
it's going to be a long haul, but I'm excited. These are going to be some really good games, some stiff competition. So I'm excited for it. How are you doing, Alex?
Oh, I'm doing excellent. I'm drinking some hot chocolate here as we're doing this podcast on our Sunday night. And I just got to go back and recap that game against the Suns on Saturday. It was a 125-117 loss for the Pacers, their third loss of the season. And, you know, when I look at this game, guys, it felt like there was a chance the Pacers going to win it, but every time they got close, Phoenix had a big shot. So I'll start with you, Rhett. What was your biggest takeaway from this game?
They did not look good defensively, and the box score showed that. The Suns only had 3 turnovers the entire game, and I think Miles talked about it after the game. It might have been Bjorkren too, but it was just like, if you're only forcing 3 turnovers, you're not going to win. The Pacers have been doing a really good job so far about forcing turnovers and then scoring on those opportunities and only getting 3. I mean, that's just props to Chris Paul's led Suns.
Yeah. Mark?
Yeah, I felt I thought the defense was okay in the first half. I really just thought both offenses were executing extremely well. In the second half, though, defense was abysmal. The miscommunications were like all over the place. And I think part of it, you look at, a lot of the miscommunications happened with Domas and Miles, and some of the issues that were coming from playing like the Phoenix bench lineups that can just, they have so much depth and can run a lot of smaller units with a lot of wings and guards who can all shoot really well. Also, I mean, Langston Galloway has like the quickest shot release I think I've ever seen. That was absurd. I don't think he hit any yesterday, but the shot release
he got him up like quick nuts. Though.
Yes, exactly. But I mean, that's where we were seeing the miscommunications coming from. But I think a lot of it too was just energy. Like they're, the energy just totally died in the late third and especially in the fourth, barring a few minutes.
Well, why do you think that is, Mark?
Well, Malcolm played 40 minutes and Domas played 39 minutes. So that would probably be part of it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I am like the most annoying person on Twitter about this. I don't care. It's just, I think it's very like yesterday was another perfect microcosm of why you can't play the starters that much. Mm-hmm. Like the bench unit came in after, I think they played like three or four guys who hadn't played at all in the game yet, just in the fourth quarter to open. And they were a plus four in two minutes. Like they were good. They held Phoenix scoreless. It wasn't perfect, but like, they were flying across the court. They gave – I mean, it was Jakar, Doug, Justin Holiday, Ed, and Cassius Stanley. And they just were incredibly – like, I tweeted this out. I was like, I think it's the most athletic lineup I've ever seen the Pacers play. Like, they were just so quick. They were making things happen. And it wasn't – again, like I mentioned, it was kind of bereft of ball handling and playmaking, but they were making things happen because they were athletic and they had energy. And that's something where you really hope that that's sprinkled out throughout the game instead of just a small two-minute spurt in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I know you wanted to talk about that lineup, Rhett. So what were your thoughts on that little 2 minutes we saw there from that lineup?
So in 2 minutes, like Mark just said, we held Phoenix scoreless. And in those 2 minutes, we had, I think it's six possessions. And every single one of them was a drive to the basket and or a foul.
It was beautiful.
It was awesome. And that's what happens when you have energy. And that's what happens when – and immediately after Brogdon Sabonis came back in, I think the next five shots were all jump shots minus sprinkle in two straight turnovers in there too. It was just missed jump shot, missed jump shot, missed jump shot, turnover, turnover, missed jump shot, just like all the way down the line. And that's what happens when you get tired is you just like – anybody who's ever played a pickup game of basketball, you like later in the night, you're just like, I don't really feel like going to the basket. I'm just going to chuck it. And that's what happened with the Pacers starters.
Yep. I thought Malcolm looked really tired last night. And I think that was when he came back in at that moment in the fourth quarter. He just, I mean, Malcolm to me is not fast anyway. So like, that's not something I'm expecting from him, but he just didn't have that extra step that he usually has. It just seemed like he was a little bit beat up and I know he had a poor night shooting. So mentally, maybe that was part of it as well, just kind of frustrated that a shot wasn't going in and he wasn't hitting as many shots as he had been the previous couple games. And then, of course, taking on the challenge of guarding Devin Booker and Chris Paul and whoever he was guarding. And it's just – that's a lot to put on him. And I know that this minutes conversation has been kind of the biggest talking point from most of the Twitter heads out there. So I know you've been big on it, Mark. I know Caitlin's been talking about it. I know Derek Cash from my Pacers blog and Tony a little bit. And I just wanted to say this because I don't know if everybody got a chance to listen to the episode we did with Scott Agnes, but one of the things he brought up, which I actually hadn't thought about, but I think it's a good counterpoint, and he was saying the minutes are still a problem, but he said he thinks that part of the reason they're doing it is because the Pacers have not traveled very much in these first nine games. And so they went to Chicago. They didn't play a ton of minutes there because it was a blowout win. I know they still played a good amount, but not the 41 minutes we've been seeing. And he said, similar to the bubble, these guys rested and were able to heal quicker and not have to travel as much. So that's why their bodies are a little bit more equipped to handle those heavy load of minutes. And he said that that could be a reason why. And I thought, you know, that kind of makes sense. But at the same time, if this continues, I don't think these guys are going to be able to sustain that heavy workload. But do you kind of see that point, Mark, of them playing a little bit extra at home?
Yes and no. I mean, that's a good point. And I think also, too, another good point, I was talking with Tom about this yesterday in our post-game pod. You know, they're really not practicing nearly as much as they used to last year. So, I mean, that's part of it as well. But I still think, I mean, like, that's a good point. But then you also think about the fact, like, we saw yesterday that playing that many minutes is detrimental. You know, we saw not necessarily to their health. I mean, it could be down the line. I hope not. But just in terms of on-court play, we've seen that for like the past four or five games, them totally falling off in the fourth. I mean, the net ratings shift from the third to fourth quarter is ridiculous. They've been a negative in the fourth quarter this year because largely due to that precipitous fall off in energy after, you know, a lot of has been made about how productive the third quarters have been. And that's fallen off a little bit the last couple of games, but that's been kind of punctuated by how poor the fourth quarters have been.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, and it's also like the defense they're playing is way more aggressive, yes. I feel like. And so they're not only playing a lot more minutes, and Brogdon's taking a lot more load of the offense. Obviously, Domas is doing more things like running up the floor with the ball in his hands, which may or may not take more effort on his part. But then playing more aggressively on defense, like Domas was – he's out on the perimeter a lot more. They're switching almost everything. So Domas is guarding Devin Booker. He's guarding Chris Paul. He's closing out on Cameron Johnson and Mikal Bridges. And that's just a lot. And I think I've been hearing a lot of people saying that it's about getting accustomed to the system and all that stuff. But I feel like at the same time, shouldn't everybody be getting accustomed to the system? Like, yeah. Isn't it important to have Sumner have an idea of what his role is going to be? And I don't mean – I mean, I know – we've been talking like, hey, get everybody minutes. And they got everybody minutes at the same time, which was like, okay, yes, that's what we wanted, but not really what we were looking for. It's like, but do something differently with the starters and just put Ed in instead of Aaron. But it's just, I think that in a season like this, when we're about to have a West Coast road trip with 5 games in 8 days, I think, something along those lines.
Yeah, 5 and 7, actually.
5 and 7. I thought it was 7, but didn't want to exaggerate. So 5 and 7, if we're still playing Domas and Brogdon 40 minutes a game, that's going to be a worry. But I think that the home aspect of it might be the lack of travel might be a bit of a good reason.
Yeah, and I'm not really sure. Like, of course, I'm keeping an eye on this and I'm monitoring it. But at the same time, I'm just enjoying the way this Pacers team has been playing overall. So I'm trying to focus on some of the positives as well, because it's been really good basketball. And I mean, last night, even playing against Phoenix, yes, their defense was bad, but this Phoenix team, number one, is really good. And number two, they were on a mission last night after losing that overtime game to Detroit the night before. And of course, you know, you can talk about it. You know, we were on 2 days rest. They were on the second half of a back-to-back, but I just think this Phoenix team is really young. They've got a veteran now in Chris Paul, and Jay Crowder's another solid veteran that you add to that mix. And what they bring to the table, I mean, Mark, this is a really good Phoenix team. I know Rhett was really high on them for the playoffs, and me and you were kind of like, you know, we think they're going to make the playoffs, didn't know where they'd be at more towards the end, we thought. But, I mean, this Phoenix team, they came guns a-blazing last night, and Mikal Bridges was unstoppable.
Yeah, no, he was fantastic. I tweeted out yesterday. I was like, you could put primer on our test on him, and it felt like he was going to make every shot. I think he shot like almost 70% from the field, had his career high, which part of it was my fault too, because I tweeted out in the first quarter. I was like, hey, he has 15 points and his career high is 26. So points watch. And it came true. So that's what I get for diving into the stats. But also, speaking of diving into the stats, just to illustrate it more, so the Pacers are first in third quarter net rating. They have a 27 net rating, which is fantastic, obviously. Their fourth quarter net rating is 27th in the league with a negative 11.9. So that's just to illustrate that. That's obviously terrible.
And they're still winning games.
Yes, exactly. Like that's, I think it would be more pointed out if they were not winning games. But I think now that we've seen a couple losses, just worth noting for sure. That Suns team is good. Mikal Bridges was so good defensively too. And just what he was getting inside was really tough. Aaron had a – granted, I think Aaron, it was just a tough ask for him on either end yesterday as a starter. Guarding Bridges is asking a ton of Aaron that I don't necessarily think was not that it was like the wrong decision, because I guess you don't want to mix with the bench unit too much, but he's not really equipped to do that given that he's 6 inches shorter than Mikal Bridges. And then offensively he was being guarded by Chris Paul. So that is that's a big ask for him. But he did not play well. Overall, that Suns team is just so good. And DeAndre Ayton was fantastic on Domas defensively. I know Domas finished with a career high in rebounds and scored incredibly well too, but Ayton was really forcing him outside the paint and forced a lot of the misses too.
Yeah, Brett, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to look at the box score, like, okay, Booker had his 25, Chris Paul had his 15, Bridges had 34. I mean, Cam Johnson obviously hit some good shots as well. But then even Ayton not playing well, they were able to pretty handily beat us like they did. I just think – like you said, I was pretty high on them at the beginning of the year, just because I feel like, I mean, they gave away kind of nothing to get Chris Paul in terms of players.
Is that Kelly Oubre slander?
I was just like about Kelly to say, I was getting ahead of it.
That's some Oubre erasure if I have ever heard it. So,
fun fact for you, the Warriors are currently last in the league in three-point percentage. If you take away all of Oubre's attempts, they would be fourth in the league. So let's, let's talk about that real
quick.
Okay,
so that's a definite Oubre slander.
Yeah, so, but no, it's just Chris Paul is really good. Devin Booker is really good. They have a lot of depth. And yeah, I'm just really, really hope that the Pacers can start putting together some better fourth quarters.
Yeah, and I mean, overall, I mean, when you have your two, you know, your two guys in the backcourt that you're relying heavily on for points to go 14 of 41 between Malcolm and Vic, that's not a recipe for success. And, you know, Sabonis was really struggling. I actually tweeted it out. It was like him and Brogdon were really struggling that third quarter before Sabonis. I pretty much tweeted that out, and then Sabonis went on that monster run where he had like 20 points and 9 rebounds. It's just like a surreal turnaround from him. And I think that's when Phoenix went smaller and took Ayton out of the game. So it was just a tough night. I mean, there's a reason why, to me, Phoenix is ranked number 3 in defense on the defensive rating. So they're just really good, and they're really long, and they've got a great culture and a great team. And I mean, this is a fun Phoenix team to watch. But now the Pacers are heading out west, and they've got 5 road games. You guys mentioned it, in 7 days, and start things off with the Kings. So just looking at this road trip, they've got a tough schedule, but the Kings game, to me, it feels like this is the must win of the entire road trip, just to try to get their feet wet and get things going on the right track here, because they lose to the Kings, I think this could be a bad start to the road trip.
Oh yeah, definitely. And the Kings are 4-6 right now, but they're kind of reeling the last week or so. It's going to be a tough matchup, I think. Yeah. I mean, there's no confirmation on it right now, but I still, as far as I know, Vic is not playing back-to-backs this year. I would be shocked if he plays either of the back-to-backs this series. So that brings into question, is he going to play against Golden State, or is he going to play against Sacramento?
That's a good point.
And if he doesn't play against Sacramento, I have no idea who's trying to guard De'Aaron Fox. Fox is going to eviscerate the defense, at least at the point of attack. That's going to be a really tough cover. But overall, I'm not super worried about this team playing Sacramento. I think it'll be a tight game, but I would bank on the Pacers coming out and hopefully getting some more run for their bench unit too, and banking a win.
Yeah, no question. I would be surprised if – or rather, I wouldn't be surprised if Vic played against Golden State rather than Sacramento.
Yeah.
Just because – Curry versus De'Aaron Fox, like, if you're going to pick one to go off and tear your defense apart, like, okay, I'll let De'Aaron Fox do it. But yeah, obviously it's not a must win when you're 6-3 and all that stuff, but to go into a 5-game stretch like this with two sets of back-to-backs, I feel like you got to get the first one and at least get off to a good start.
Yeah, and I mean, the Warriors have been playing a little bit better. You know, the Blazers are still a team that you can never count out, and then they get to play Phoenix and the Clippers to close out that road trip. So no easy games out here, and no T.J. McConnell for this game against the Kings either. He didn't play against the Suns because his baby boy is born. So congratulations to the McConnell family. But you definitely realized how much the Pacers' second unit did miss McConnell, just having that steady ball handler, the guy that energizes the team. And maybe, you know, the spark plug off the bench, I think that's a good way to, you know, put him – a good category to put him in. And I think going up against Sacramento – He could be missed as well. So, I'm not sure who they're going to put on him. Brogdon, I don't necessarily think he's quick enough. And Aaron's really been struggling. Is this an opportunity that maybe we see Justin get put into the starting lineup, Mark?
Oh, I don't think Justin could guard De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he could, but that's a big ask. I still think it's going to be Aaron just because he has the quickness.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't sure maybe if they could find a way to, force him to do switches or hedge or stuff like that. You know, there's different ways they can get the ball out of his hands, but it's just maybe they go some zone. I don't know how great of a shooting team the Kings are outside of Buddy Hield and
Harrison Barnes shooting really well this year.
Okay.
But yeah, they're starting double bigs currently. They're starting Bagley and Holmes together, and neither of them are shooting well from three. Holmes isn't even taking any, but I think Bagley's sub 30% right now. I think, where I look at this, I think Domas is going to feast tomorrow. Like, this is a big opportunity for him. I'm sure Rashawn Holmes will play on him, but he's had foul trouble this year. He's averaging like 4.5 fouls per game right now, I think.
He's also missed the last game with an ankle injury and is not confirmed for tomorrow or for Monday. Sorry. Yeah, tomorrow.
So we could see Hassan Whiteside in the starting lineup, which is great for the Pacers' chances at getting a win.
Or Bagley at the five, which is even better for the Pacers' chances of a win.
Yeah.
And hopefully Marvin Bagley's dad continues to tweet out about his
unhappiness. Oh, that was wild, man. That was so weird.
It's been kind of weird with fathers because I noticed that, and then I saw De'Aaron Fox's dad got back into it or said something back to him. And also Trey Young's dad liked a tweet that said McMillan, a fan said they're just waiting for McMillan to take over for Lloyd Pierce, and Trey Young's dad liked that. So got some weird stuff going on here with young players' dads on social media, but that's besides the point, not our problem. And anytime the Pacers can get a win against a Luke Walton coach team, I'm always happy about that because I can't stand Luke Walton. But moving forward, you know, now we got some tough guards here, and this whole trip really has got tough guards. But you've got Steph Curry, who's just been playing great recently, and then Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, and those two guys have been on fire. So any chance the Pacers can win either of those two games, Mark?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think this Pacers team is good enough where they'll have a chance in any game. Except right now, I still am, like, so wary about this team playing Milwaukee. I just don't know how they're going to defend Giannis because that's been such a big problem the last couple of years. But we'll see on that. But I think, yeah, going into this, I think the Pacers have a chance against anyone.
Yeah.
But especially looking at this, you know, I don't expect them to come out of this 2-0. You know, I think that's if you're splitting games, you're lucky. Portland's defense has really struggled out the gate, and it's climbing up now, but I think that's more of teams not performing well ahead of them. Yusuf Nurkic has looked just kind of a step behind where he was in the bubble last year. I know he was back in Bosnia, and so he's kind of still getting back into shape after coming back, and there was no training camp, so obviously that kind of makes things difficult. But this team is good. Damian Lillard is really good. And more importantly, CJ McCollum has been on a tear to start the year.
He's been so good.
Yeah. He's averaging 28, 4, and 5. Like, he's just been ridiculous. And the big thing with CJ has always been that he takes a ton of pull-up mid-range shots, and he's good at them. He's taking a career-high 11 threes per game right now at 44%, man. Like,
that is insane.
If that sticks for him, he's going to be an all-star this year. I mean, that's, like, been kind of the one part of his game where he could always take more threes, and he is now. And dude, it's going to be very tough to guard those two. They're both very quick. I think it's going to be a tough matchup for Malcolm. And that's another part. Like, you mentioned it, too. And he guarded Devin Booker really well yesterday. Mm-hmm. But it's asking him a lot to run the offense and to guard the best perimeter scorer on the other team, because that's what he's done every game since TJ's been out.
For 40 minutes a night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not sustainable. That's the problem. And they're going to have to figure out ways to just counteract that, because, I mean, personally, it's like I like seeing how hard of a worker Malcolm Brogdon is, and he definitely is your best option. But at the same time, I mean – You cannot afford to put in that many minutes on him. And that's where Edmund Sumner might come into play in these games. I mean, Sumner's
long. Somebody who could potentially – like, I personally think they're going to keep Aaron Holiday in the starting lineup, and I think they should. But that's, like, a guy who you could look at, like, okay, well, if Vic is sitting a game, do you start Ed? Because he's got the speed that he can play on the perimeter. I think
that was going to be my suggestion for Fox.
Oh, for De'Aaron Fox?
Yeah, if Vic doesn't play.
Yeah, I think he's long enough. He's really so quick too. That's the thing, and yeah, I mean, and when you see Ed play, like, it's probably because he's trying to prove that he deserves that playing time, and he's trying to earn it. But, like, the dude is going 120 miles an hour out on the court, and I love his energy. I just think he brings something a little bit extra on that energy side of it, Rhett.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm a huge Sumner fan, and I think that he's one of the better guard/forward options we have defensively, which is not saying a whole lot because we really only have Justin right now and then Brogdon, obviously. But yeah, so it'll be really interesting to see what happens with guys like Sumner and Stanley, especially when you look to the tail end of this here road trip, and we've got the Clippers, and they have a couple pretty decent forwards that are going to be fun to match up with.
Yeah, I actually kind of like this Pacers-Clippers matchup, not necessarily because I think the Pacers have good forwards, but it's because I don't like the Clippers guards. And I feel like this is a game where we could really see Brogdon or Vic go off, depending on who guards him. And, of course, whenever we play PG, he does tend to play a little bit better against us because he takes it personal. But whatever, you know. But it's yeah, this is a fun road trip. And, I mean, for anybody staying up late to watch these games, I mean, I completely understand how tired you're going to be at work. But hopefully you're going to have some entertaining basketball, because I really think when it comes down to it, Mark, like, the Pacers really can compete with all these teams. And I think they'll be close, because the Pacers usually have one blowout on these road trips, but most of the other games are pretty competitive.
Yeah, I think if there's a game, I don't know if I'd say any of them are going to be a blowout, because I don't want to speak that into the ether, but the Clippers are going to be tough, man. I mean, Marcus Morris is back now. They've been running lineups with, like, Marcus Morris playing the five, Nick Batum, Kawhi Leonard, PG. Just the size is going to be so difficult to match up with. Mm-hmm. I agree on there's an opportunity to really attack the guards. And, you know, their playmaking is always going to be a question, but I just think they have so much talent, and they have talent at the position where the Pacers really are kind of devoid of that size right now. That's going to be tough, man. I'm interested to see how the coaching staff attacks it. But it's going to be a very difficult match. I think that's going to be the hardest matchup out of all of them. And I'm really excited to see this team play Phoenix again.
Yeah.
That was, speaking impartially, I mean, watching a ton of basketball to start the year, that was the best game I've seen so far this year. And I've probably watched, you know, 60 or 70 games already. So that was fantastic. I know I don't care. I just like watching good basketball. Obviously, it's easier if the Pacers win, but it was just a good game. So I'm excited for that matchup again.
Yeah, I would say that seeing the Pacers lose, it does put a damper on it for me. I think for me as a Pacers fan, I would definitely say that New Orleans game has been the most fun game I've seen all year. Just the way I felt like so many guys contributed to that. And I know we're not going through and recapping every game, because we've all kind of done that on previous episodes on our own podcast. But, I mean, I just was laughing because everybody kept saying, oh, it was this guy that won it or this guy that won it. And if you really looked at that entire game, it started with McConnell setting the tone with the bench unit, them going on that huge run against New Orleans, and then, you know, Miles came in for Sabonis when he had five fouls and fouled out, and he just played great, and Vic played great in the clutch, and then Brogdon finished it off while playing 29 straight minutes of game time. So I think this team is really well balanced, and I think they're all the pieces are kind of fitting well together right now. Of course, you can talk long-term future and all that stuff, and what this team means or what this team is. But I just think right now, the way they're playing, the chemistry is really there. I'm enjoying this team a lot, guys. I mean, just the way the new style they're playing with Bjorkgren. I mean, this is a really fun and really good basketball team.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And Alex, you called me out on Twitter after the New Orleans game, because I was saying that pretty much the only thing I'm looking at to determine whether or not it's a good game is the minutes that Brogdon and Sabonis are playing. And you're not entirely wrong, but it's great to see that we're playing some more modern basketball, even if there's another side to it, right? So we're playing more up-tempo, but obviously we're seeing guys get tired, and we're playing our starters a lot more instead of going 11 deep, which is a double-edged sword as well. So, yeah, this is going to be a pretty good test for the team, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
And we got some news today about Jeremy Lamb. It looks like he could be coming back this month. Not sure when, but what are your guys' thoughts overall on Jeremy coming back? Because I feel like I see a lot of people say, oh, he's going to start right away, and all these, you know, he's going to be like the best fit for us going forward. It's like, I understand that, but at the same time, like, this dude's coming off a really serious injury over a year ago, and you know, it's like, it's going to take him some time to really get his feet wet again and just get comfortable again. And I feel like sometimes fans get a little bit too, you know, unrealistic with their expectations for these guys. And so I would just say my expectations for Jeremy Lamb when he returns are pretty low, and any positive we get from him, I'll take as a plus.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's really difficult because, like you're mentioning, with fan expectations, like, especially considering how many injuries there are to start the year, and that you need Jeremy to fill in and hopefully provide some competent minutes at the three. It's tough because, okay, well, how do you match those? Not even match those. How do you temper those expectations while also, you know, kind of hoping that he comes in and can provide something? I think he will be. It's kind of crazy to say. It's already almost been a year since his injury.
Yeah.
But it, yeah, I agree. It's going to take some time for him to really work things out on court, and he might not be back to being the same level player. I think it's good though, because his game is not super predicated on athleticism. At least, you know, offensively, I do have questions about how he's going to look defensively, but overall, I mean, I'm just excited for him to get back on court and to play basketball again, because I enjoy watching his game. Like, he's a fun player, and he's also like one of the funniest dudes on the team, if not the funniest dude on the team, just right. Unintentionally. So yeah, I'm excited for him to come back.
Yeah, Rhett, your thoughts on the Jeremy Lamb return?
We can't say if he should start or not, because we have no idea what it's going to look like. Like, yeah, that's such a cop out answer. But to say he should go right into the starting lineup is not really considering that he hasn't played actual NBA basketball in over a year. So yeah, it's good to have another bigger body to be able to throw in there at the three like that. And his scoring obviously is going to be something that is very helpful, especially on those nights where Vic takes off. But yeah, the sooner we can get him back when he's ready to go, not when Twitter thinks he's ready to go, is best.
Yeah, no, I agree. So keeping an eye on that. And of course, I'm keeping an eye on when Goga returns and how he looks. And it's just been kind of frustrating not to see Goga get any time so far this year because of the injury. And it's only been 9 games, I know that. But it just feels like this injury probably lingered a little bit longer than I expected. And, you know, just guy can't catch a break. It feels like since he got drafted by the Pacers, it's just been one thing after the other, keeping him from getting some good experience on the court. But as we wrap this podcast up, I know we have 5 games on the road. Mark, what would you consider a successful road trip record-wise?
3-2, I think, okay, is successful in my mind. If they can come out still above 500, I mean, like, have a road trip above 500, that's huge. Yeah. And that's not – some people might say that's like a defeatist mentality, but I just think you're looking at the way that these teams are playing right now. That's going to be tough. Portland is starting to turn around. I think Golden State is 4-1 over their last 5 games, and they're starting to look like Golden State again, or at least like a playoff team again. So, you know, that's something to look out for. But I think it's manageable to get to 3-2 on this trip.
Yeah, Rhett. Would you say a 2-3 road trip's bad though, Rhett?
No, I wouldn't. That's what I was gonna say. 2-3 is acceptable. 3-2, yeah. I would be happy with 3-2, because that means you're beating, you know, two of those 4 potential playoff teams in Clippers, Phoenix, Portland, and Golden State. So that's a pretty good trip for there. And even if you go 2-3, you're still beating one of them, assuming you beat Sacramento.
Yeah, I think 2-3, 3-2 is fine with me as well. I'm not trying to get too overhyped about the Pacers' early season success, but at the same time, they've been playing really well. And I think that they, like I said earlier, they can compete with all these teams, and it'll just be fun to see how they do it. But 5 games in 7 days is a lot of wear and tear on the body. So we're going to have some road McDermott games to maybe sneak out a win there. I think that's possible, because road McDermott is a different animal. But yeah, guys, so this was a lot of fun. Make sure you guys follow Mark on Twitter at mschindlernba, Rhett at Rhett_Bauer. I'm at AlexGoldenNBA, and we'll be back with you guys next week to recap this West Coast road trip and look forward to the upcoming games for Pacers. So hope you all have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G, because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.